like a bottle of beer. The wave is coming, but
hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 39 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Wow. Soon this podcast will be older than me.
Come over here.
Let's see. Well, I was thinking on my way over about what I've been doing, but I'm looking at your huge, huge list here. And so why don't you talk about what you've been getting? Because you got a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So last time I had alluded to this Noro project I did, and it was done. But it was a Noro striped scarf from that Jared Flood did. It's not his pattern, but his version is really popular. So I did it for our friend Amanda.
So it's that Noro, the one-by-one ribbed, where
one
you
by
take
one ribbed.
Two, I mean, his version was two colors of silk
garden
that were striped together.
Two skeins of each color,
right.
And you knit them against each other.
Right.
So instead of doing two of the same, you know, two self-striping things, I did, which kind of is, but I did two skeins of Noro Kurion in one of the new colors, and then I did two skeins of Retro, which is the Angora, is it Angora silk blend, or is
And that sounds right, Angora silk.
So it's a semi-solid.
Yeah,
it's like
does monochromatic stripes.
Yeah, and I think is it Vintage is the other one that stripes.
Oh,
the same blend.
Maybe Vintage is. Yeah, Vintage is like
it's a Noro yarn
version one. Yeah.
Yeah, but it has color changes, and Retro doesn't. It turned out really well, and I ended up pulling out some of the grayer parts so that the gray that I used wouldn't get super muddy with the gray that was in the Kurion. But she likes it.
Cool.
And she said as soon as it gets cool enough to wear it again,
yeah,
she will, so
get that nice and hot for us.
Yeah.
And you bought more yarn already to do another one?
No.
That
was Nikki's birthday present. She wanted, she saw that and she was like, I want to knit that. So my friend Nikki, Amplified Mixtape on Ravelry. I know she listens. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
She came up to visit for her birthday. So, I didn't get her a present because she's been more into knitting.
Yes.
So I was like, well, you can just come and choose some stuff. And she said, I want to knit that, so what do I need for that?
Cool.
And she got a ball winder, too.
Cool.
So, what else?
The
lizard mittens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Super cute.
Thanks. I just got a hair to cast on something small that was color work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had these lizard mittens in my queue forever.
It's a free pattern on Ravelry.
It's a free pattern on Ravelry, and it's basically a little description on how you do it, and then it's a chart.
Uh-huh.
So it's helpful if you've done Selbavoder before, but I think you could do it even if you haven't. And they're just little kids' mittens. They're they're sized for ages 3 to 5. And I used leftover yarn from other stuff I had knit, and I held the yarn double. I had, barely enough left to do the thumbs.
Yeah.
A little scary, so I just knit faster.
Who are those for?
Well, I was going to give them to charity, but I think they'll fit my nephew, Isaac, for Christmas.
Cool.
He's in Kansas, so
yeah.
You definitely use some.
Very nice warm
mittens. And they're, bright green and bright, bright blue.
They're very
and
cute.
And they're the same, I use the same blue as I use for my Mad Color Weave socks, which on the socks by itself is, crazy.
Yeah.
But with the super bright green I used, it, tones it down
a
little bit.
Yeah,
it
sort of makes sense, in that.
Yeah. So those are really cute, and they're really fast. I started them Sunday, and I think I finished them Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished my artichoke socks last night.
Oh, you finished them?
Yeah.
Wow. Because you still had a couple inches to go when I saw you last night.
Yeah, I came home and watched some Buffy.
So this is another free Ravelry pattern,
right,
for artichoke socks. Really pretty kind of leafy design running down them.
And someone at Knitting said that they reminded them of the Nutkin socks.
Right.
But the Nutkin socks
torque,
so they twist around your leg, and these ones don't. And they're really easy. It's really easy to memorize pattern. And I used Knit 1, Crochet 2, Croc of Dye, in a green color. And that yarn is awesome to work with.
Oh, great. It's it's a wool silk
nylon
blend.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I think a lot. Well, someone in Jody, hi Jody, from Knitting we have a sample baby sweater from Vintage Baby Knits in the shop that we knit in a skein of crocodile.
The Louise cardigan.
Louise cardigan, yes.
Because so I knit that, yeah.
Jody's been working on that in the crocodile, too. And then Sarah saw her working in it and liked the crocodile so much that she came by the shop and got a skein.
Yeah, they have great semi-solid colors that are kind of a lot of vibrant. Like, there's, like, bright orange. I used kind of
and a medium really green. Pink.
Yeah. And purple, and then a couple greens and more of a neutrally one. It's like a sagey one. Stuff.
Yeah, and then there's some good blues too.
Yeah, so, and it's a great yardage. It's like 460 yards for
$16. Or something? Yeah, so, something really reasonable.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good for shawls too.
Yeah, that's true. Because
of the silk, it'd be nice and drapey.
Oh, you know, I've been looking, I need to buy something for a little simple shawl. Seems like all the sock yarn in my stash right now is all the stuff that's like 330 yards or something, and I want to do some of these small shawls, and they all seem to call for like 420 yards or something. So it's crazy that I have so much sock yarn and I still don't have the yarn that I need to do any of these shawls. So oh well.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, I think.
Yeah.
And I finished Kaysera.
Yay!
For the Knitting Green knit along. It's my second project. It's really fast. I shortened the sleeves, of course. So I ended up only using 7 skeins instead of 8, which my size called for. It turned out a little bit longer, but once I get it all buttoned up, because it pulls horizontally, it shortens it up a little bit. But it's nice. I did mess up on one side doing the lace pattern, where like I didn't move it into the shaping enough, so there's like a little half diamond of more stockinette, but I don't really care.
Yeah. Done.
yeah. And I'd never used Blue Sky Alpaca dyed cotton before.
Oh yeah.
It's nice.
So nice.
I was like, oh, this is so nice to work with. It doesn't hurt my hands at all. And then I would switch to wool and I would be like,
Oh yeah.
So like actually working with it was fine, but once I would switch back to something that had elasticity in it.
I know. Yeah. I've had that experience too. It's just you think, oh yeah, okay, this isn't bad, I like this.
Yeah.
And then you'd go back to you know, a nice stretchy wool and you're like, oh man, this is the stuff, yes. So
yeah,
that's good. I've knit I knit a baby Bobby Bear out of the cotton for
and a strip for my baby sample. Blanket, right?
Right, and a strip for your baby blanket out of it. It's really, I mean, it's nice, fluffy, puffy, soft.
And I stepped out of my color box.
Yeah,
chose that tomato color. It's like a burnt red.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it.
Cool.
One problem that I had with it was I got these buttons at the shop, the little round ones that are like 2 colors of wood, like the dark and the light. And they look perfect, but they're too small, so I put it on, buttoned it up, and all the buttons like flew open.
Yeah.
So Nikki and I went to Church Mouse on Tuesday morning, and I went to Esther's Fabrics.
Oh, yeah. They have
and
cool
they
buttons.
Have tons of buttons.
A lot of cool vintage ones, too.
Yeah, so I got some that were like wood and kind of fat and... They look really good with it. And I got some other buttons, too, for projects that I haven't knit yet. Like, these are so cute.
So I have a real problem with that. Every time I buy buttons for, you know, for an imaginary project, I never actually get them on there.
But then we went to Church Mouse, which I hadn't been to in a long time. And I bought yarn. And some of the buttons I got will go perfectly on these sweaters worth of yarn I bought. Oh my god.
What'd you get?
Hold on, let me go get it because I can't remember. Okay, so I bought a sweater's worth of Aslan Trends Artisanal, and it's 40% cotton, 30% alpaca, and 30% polyamide, so nylon.
Mm-hmm.
It's 218 yards, so it's like an Aran weight, 4 stitches to the inch on the 8 to a 10. But it's kind of tweedy, and I got, like, the dark gray color.
Nice charcoal.
Yeah, and the buttons I got were, like, gray, so they'll look really pretty.
Cool.
So, like, 5 skeins, I think it was $12.50 a skein, because I'm going to knit, I think, Estelle, which is a little cardigan. The original, it's got a lace pattern at the top, it's top down, and it's got, like, this little gathered thing around the sleeves.
I'll have to look that one up. That one's not ringing a bell for me.
Yeah, it comes in a cardigan and a pullover. And the original is knit in Araucania nature wool, oh, okay. which they was sitting right next to this.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, ooh, I like that. And I haven't knit with that kind of blend before, so I'm interested to see. It feels really soft. So. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Kathy and I were just talking about this yesterday at work because Rowan has this yarn that's been popular for them that's called Alpaca Cotton. And it's just alpaca with cotton, and it looks kind of fluffy, and then there's a core of, like, undyed cotton in the center.
Uh-huh.
And as a spinner, we were both saying, like, I don't understand this yarn. Because when you put two fibers together in a blend, you're usually thinking about, like, well, this will add this, and this will add that. And with the alpaca cotton blend, it's like, these are both completely inelastic. One is a really short fiber, one's a really long fiber, one's really fluffy. One, and it's just, like, conceptually, I don't understand how... The way that one goes together, this one's a much more homogenous kind of blend, which makes a lot more sense.
But I
to
picked
me.
It up and I was like, oh,
I like you.
So yeah, I like you. And I think it's cable construction.
Yeah, it looks like it's
instead
cabled.
Of plied.
Well, so cables are just plies that are then plied together.
Yeah. So but instead of the normal just plied twisted around each other. So I'm anxious to knit that up. I also bought a skein of Eco Butterfly Organics Pacucho Lace, so it's cotton. It's 500 yards and it was like $9.
Cool.
So, and it's a pretty like natural cotton
natural
color.
Green,
like one of the greener ones. So I think I'm going to try and knit that this summer for part of our green knit along.
Oh, cool. You're like rocking the knit along. I suck. I haven't done anything. Sorry.
It's okay. and so let me get to
you're
my
you're doing
whips.
All my knit along for me. There you go. I don't have to do
just
it.
Doubling
you're
up.
Doing it for me.
I started the convertible baby boomers, pattern that you got for me to knit for Audrey. And I don't have size 8 double pointed needles.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I must have had them at some point and maybe lost them.
Huh.
No idea.
Maybe in a bag somewhere.
I knit the bulk of them and I just had to do the legs.
Oh, cool.
And I'm still working on those summer socks.
What yarn are you using for baby bloomers?
Oh, sweater.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What colors?
Oh, just the white. The off-white. But I'll probably do, some other stuff. So I'm just doing the plain ones for the summer. So she has little bloomers to wear. Because she's so tall that all her dresses are too short. I'm working on the summer socks out of... hand dyed,
which is another free pattern
From
Classic Elite by Cookie A.
Yep. And that's like a ribby thing. And and I'm using the collage needles for that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Double pointed ones.
Yeah.
I like them all right. They took some getting used to. And then last night I started the Brandywine shawl.
I saw you starting that. And what yarn are you using for that?
Tactile Fiber Arts. Superwash sock something. The first yarn I ever bought at Madrona.
Cool.
Yes. So, yeah.
So Brandywine, that's just done all in one piece, start at the tip and go up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's all garter.
Okay.
So you're knitting on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
It's fun so far. It's on size 6 needles, so it's going really fast.
Cool.
And it's all charted, which I like.
Yeah.
So what about you?
I'm knitting Lois cardigan. I'm still knitting Lois cardigan.
But you're up to the yoke.
I am. I finished, I think the last time we talked, I was starting the second sleeve. Now I got the sleeves done, I got the body done, I got it all joined up, I did a whole bunch of plain rounds, and I've got all my markers in, and it's all set up, in theory, to start the yoke pattern evenly. And then I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, wait, did I... And I got all worried about, like, because I changed, I'm not going to do all the colors, I'm only going to do a couple colors, anyway. And then I kind of had a... I still haven't actually pulled it out to look at it to answer the questions I had at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm just going to let that go for now. But that's all I've been doing. Well, the other thing I've been doing is Tour de Fleece.
Right.
Which I'm sure by the time y'all listen, this will be practically over. But, and this year, like, my goals are very modest. It's just to, like, try to do some spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And, I actually got quite a bit done, the first day I finished spinning some singles that I, some alpaca.
Shh.
Some Surrey Alpaca BFL that I got from Tutsla Blanc at Madrona that I've been spinning for months, and it's like 6 ounces. It's pathetic that it's taken me this long. Finally finished spinning it, then I finally plied it.
It's pretty. Is that what you posted on your blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
At first I was really taken with the natural colors, but now I'm thinking I might overdye it. I think it'd be really pretty if I overdyed it in, like, a really intense, like, jewel tone color, because then it'll still have a lot of variegation in it, and the fact that it's not, like, going on a white base will tone it down a little bit. I'm also, for my birthday, I got a new, not a wheel, I got an electric spinner, a Hansen mini spinner, and it's awesome. It's tiny. It's just like, I mean, if you know anything about spinning wheels, sorry if you're not a spinner, that's a little boring, but it's just like the flyer of a spinning wheel with a really small motor base to it. And then there's like a pedal that can be like an on-off switch or a deadman switch, or you can just use a switch on the front. And it's great because, like, I wasn't feeling well on the 4th, and I, like, crawled into my room and got in bed, and I just, like, had it on the bed with me, and I was able to, like, ply yarn sitting in bed, or I can put it on, I can just take it anywhere in the house, and it's quiet enough that I was able to spin while watching a movie with the kids and nobody complained. I mean, my kids are now well enough trained. They know they can't turn... They used to love to turn the lights out when we watched a movie, but now they're like, oh, is this enough light for you, Mom? So they know I need light, but... And they didn't... No one said anything about the noise. It's pretty quiet, too. So, cool. Anyway, but so... And then I also... So I had a project that I started spinning a while ago on my Lendrum wheel that I'm going to try spinning singles for on this wheel. I was a little worried about changing wheels, but then I realized it's not like I'm that consistent a spinner anyway. I don't think it'll make a big deal difference, but that's what I've been working on, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nikki wanted me to pull out my drop spindle while she's here, and that didn't happen, so. But now I'm thinking more about it, because I have been knitting like crazy. It might be nice to, like, pull it out and get some practice in spinning. Because then I could maybe go to First Fridays at the shop.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, fun. If I can get that knack of not dropping the actual drop spindle on the floor.
Yeah, I'm terrible with spindles. I'm always dropping. I have to be on a rug. Someone I know online was saying that she broke one of her spindles recently because it fell on the floor. And is like, that is why I stand over a rug. I hardly
Well, we have carpet now, so I'm not as worried about it. Yeah. But at that shop, we have concrete floors.
There's a rug there, too. Find a little spot on the rug.
Elbow my way in.
Yeah.
So I just have a couple of announcements before we move on. Big Hill Girl on Ravelry asked me to announce the Studio 49 retreat from Friday, October 22nd to Sunday, October 24th at Whispering Pines Resort. You can come for the whole retreat or just come for Saturday. It's in above Sonora, which is almost 3 hours east of San Francisco in Milwaukee Village. And there will be spinning and knitting and an optional dyeing workshop and a weaving demo and local vendors and show and tell type thing. You can find out more information at www.mlws.org or in the events listings on Ravelry. There's that one.
Okay.
And then... Ariel, who is Stariel on Ravelry, I told her a long time ago, oh, like, pimp your sock pattern on our podcast, and this was months ago. She either contacted or was contacted by KnitPicks for their independent designer thing that they're doing, and she got a pattern in, a sock pattern called Diverged, that she had originally, I think, designed to submit to Knitty. But she didn't get in, even though it's a pretty pattern. And it's knit in the Stroll Tonal, I think. The newer sock yarn, which I hear is really nice.
Mm.
I don't know. But the pattern's $1.95, and you can find it on Ravelry. So you can check that out. And then, what else? I talked about Church Mouse. our knit-along, our knitting green knit-along. We have some people who have finished things.
Yeah.
Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
It's really fun to hear, to see people's projects and to see how they're liking the yarn. We have a couple Emmalines done in Sprout and, what was the one that Jennifer knit? Picnic cardigan or something?
Yeah. What's
it was knit
called?
Out of sweater.
I don't remember what it was called.
It's super cute, and that picture of her mom is adorable.
Yeah, her mom looks so happy in that sweater.
I like her Superwoman pose.
And, well, you didn't put up pictures yet of your case.
No, I have to take pictures
Sharon
of it.
Sharon hasn't put up pictures of hers either, which she brought to Knitting on Monday. It looks super cute.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a similar color to yours, but she did it in sweater in that firecracker color.
Firecracker.
So,
keep going. You have till the end of July. Maybe we'll even extend it another month. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
She's laying on the floor.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I have, let's see, my summer socks are naturally dyed. My Brandywine shawl is naturally dyed.
Oh, yeah.
And my baby, Sweater's organic.
Sweater's organic cotton.
So I have like three things on the needles that I can use for this.
See, I'm looking at my stash, and I just didn't have anything in my stash, and then I felt like kind of guilty about going off and buying something when I had so much. It's true, I was thinking about it, but what I wanted to do was use this yarn that I just spun, which was like local fiber, and I spun it myself, so that's pretty green. I won't have time to I wanted to like dye it and then take it with me as a camp knitting project, because I'm going to camp next week. But I'm not gonna have time to do that, so I don't know. Maybe I'll have time this weekend. Maybe, who knows. But I'm sure the family will love to have a dye pot simmering on the stove. When we're having Seattle's version of a heat wave, which means it might reach 90 degrees today, which I know the rest of you are like in the death grip of like 100 plus degree heat right now.
But
so
we're finally getting warm weather, which I really like, but
I hate it.
Yeah. No, I hate
I was
it too.
So happy. It's like,
I have to tell 70
him 70 and a little drizzly was just fine for me.
Yeah. I have to tell him, like, unless it actually hits 80, you cannot complain. You cannot complain about it being hot.
Seattle people, they love to complain when it gets too hot. Then they complain when it gets too cold. I mean, we're so temperate here. I had someone who walked into the shop one day on a day when it was maybe like 42 degrees. And she said, it is just bitter, bitter cold out there. And I stopped her. I said, you know, we need to save words so that when it really gets cold, we have words left to describe it. Because if 42 is bitter, bitter cold, what happens when it drops below freezing? Yeah. Then we, how will we describe that? Whoops. I always hit the ball winder when I'm
sorry.
That's okay. Anyway, so that's just the Seattle version. So you look like, I've been watching a ton of stuff too. And it looks like we've been watching some of the same stuff. So here, you want to run down your list?
Well, let's just go Zombieland.
Zombieland! I watched it because it came up on Watch Instant over the weekend. Yeah. And
Bill Murray. Oh,
and and my older son was like, can I watch Zombieland? I was like, no. And then the minute he was out of the house, it was click. And I watched it. And you know, I don't like horror movies. And there was definitely a lot of things where I kind of brought my hands up, my knitting up over my eyes. Mm-hmm. But I found it, like a lot of films, tends to kind of front load all the creepy gross stuff, like to set the tone. Right. And then they don't really have to show you that for the rest of it, because there's a lot of stuff that happens later that is equally violent, but they don't give you the close-up disgusting view of it. It's just like from a distance, or it kind of happens off screen. So they just, but it's more of a comedy, I think, even than a horror movie.
It's got Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's got Bill Murray in it. Jesse Eisenberg. My older son saw Jesse Eisenberg on the artwork for it, and he said, oh, is that the guy from Scott Pilgrim? And that's Michael Cera, who's in Scott. Mm-hmm. So it's like the two of them are like
Interchangeable
for him. But it's a lot more of a comedy, I think.
Yeah, and I liked Woody Harrelson's
character
a lot.
Yeah, no, it was just really fun. And it's actually kind of, I mean, it's a really small movie. There's essentially only like four characters in it.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray drops in for a cameo, and then other than that, everyone else is a zombie.
Yeah.
And it's,
it's good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really funny, and, you know, well done. And I liked it a lot. Not what my usual thing.
Let's see.
What else is on your big long list?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast by Jean Cocteau.
Yes.
It's on Watch Instantly. I'd never seen it. I'd seen pieces of it, because I remember seeing, like, knowing that the Beast looked like that, but it was so pretty and just really charming.
Mm-hmm. I watched that when I was a kid. I haven't
seen the costumes and the sets and how it was filmed. Yeah. And
it's like gorgeous black and white.
Yeah.
Cool
effects.
Yeah.
We watched His Girl Friday while Nikki was here. Noah had seen the one that has Walter Matthau.
The front page.
The front page.
Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Right.
Right.
So we do that.
Came to my house when we did that.
Yeah.
Because at one time at Pearly Girls, I said something about His Girl Friday, and everyone, or I said something about Rosalind Russell.
Yeah.
And no one knew who I was talking about, and I kind of said, Annie Mame, His Girl Friday, and it was like blink, blink, total silence. So I made everyone come to my house, and I showed it to them because it's awesome. I mean, yeah. It is like the great screwball comedy, and you know, the great, like, strong woman in a central role and smart and
Cary
confident.
Cary Grant is hilarious,
Cary
too.
Cary Grant and wonderful. I love that movie. I could just watch that movie over and over again. Love that
so,
movie.
No one's seen the Walter Matthau right. Jack Lemmon one. And I was like, this is a remake of His Girl Friday. And now His Girl Friday is on Watch Instantly, so we watched it. And he said, that is much better than yeah. the remake. Duh.
Yeah.
So, watched that. I really enjoyed it. Still working on Battlestar. I'm on the last season. We're on disc 3 out of 4, so okay. I'm almost done. That's all I'll say about it.
Okay.
And I went and saw Eclipse with Nikki after a week.
Woo!
This is the setup. We I put Audrey down for bed. We went to a 10 o'clock showing, so we had a couple hours before we had to go because she goes to bed at 7:30. So we had some white wine and read trashy romance novels until we walked down to the theater to watch it. So we were kind of giddy and giggly and cracking
ready
jokes.
Ready to cheer every time a werewolf took his shirt off. Woo!
Yeah. I liked it actually better than the first two. They figured out some of the makeup stuff finally.
Well,
and some of the action.
More money each time, too.
And some of the action stuff. So instead of the fast running looking like it's a Roadrunner type deal, it looks just kind of blurry.
Oh, okay.
The one thing I didn't like it, well, two things that I really didn't like. Victoria is not the same Victoria.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They changed her. So, and she was more fragile and
looking and
stuff.
Oh, right. Did they change? It's like Bryce Dallas Howard now. Right.
And she wasn't as like tough.
Yeah.
So I didn't really like that because I didn't think it suited the character. Yeah. And the other thing was that, like, every time Bella and Edward were having this, like, or anyone was having an intense conversation, they were placed close together, and then it was, like, real tight close-ups on them. Like, this is intense. You have to see the pores on their face. So, like, the first 5 minutes or something is, like, all kind of weird close-up stuff. And he did it, and the same director, I think, is the second one.
Maybe.
I'm not sure, but it happens throughout the movie, and it totally bugged me.
Like,
just because they're having an intense conversation.
Well, the other thing, too, when you shoot a close-up like that, you place people so close together that, I mean, if you saw two people having a conversation like that in real life, you, like, do a double take. People don't get their faces that close to one another when they talk.
So it was just kind of weird. Like, the first 5 minutes, I'm like, pan back! Pan back! Because people love it when you shout things at the screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
Good couple hours in movie theater. And there were more jokes, and I liked that they kind of developed the kind of love triangle a little bit more. So.
That's good.
Yeah, good fight scenes.
Good.
I started watching Nip Tuck, which is kind of disgusting.
Yeah, it's super gross. Well, actually, I realized, I'm so squeamish. Wes pointed out when I started watching the show originally that I like that when they start a surgery, they put on music, which is always like this way, way too on the nose commentary about the episode kind of thing. But they play the music through the entire surgery. So when the music starts, if you look down and you wait until the music stops and look back up, you haven't missed anything important and you don't have to see surgery.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, I really don't want to see someone getting butt implants.
The wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's just... Ugh.
So, yeah. That's fine. Stranded, I've Come From a Plane That Crashed on the Mountain, which is a documentary about the 1972 Uruguayan
plane crash.
The soccer team. And it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
It's
okay.
Like... It's subtitled. They interviewed the... however many guys are left from the survivors, because there are, you know, older guys.
Yeah.
And there's some reenactments, but it's not cheesy reenactments, and they're pretty sparse. And I thought they just fit really well into it. And you get everyone's point of view. And they had some original footage from when they were rescued.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fantastic. It's a little over 2 hours long, so it's fairly long for a documentary.
Yeah.
But it's so good. Oh, I was talking to Amanda about it. She's like, oh my god, it's so good. Yes, it is so good. Okay, and that's on Watch Instantly.
Oh, great.
It was in my queue forever, and I just finally watched it. I was like, why didn't I watch this before? It's so good.
Well, speaking of things, why didn't I watch this before? I have had the disc for A Serious Man at my house since February, since before the Oscars. And this is the Coen Brothers film. It's set in the late 60s. I haven't seen that one yet. In the Midwest, it's about a Jewish physics professor, and it's sort of a Job-like tale where he is suddenly beset with a great many aggravations and tragedies, and it was really beautifully done, and I mean, it was visually, it's really gorgeous. It's shot by Roger Deakins, and it just has a fantastic look to it, and the performances are all really good. It does not have a plot, though, so I think... I mean, it literally doesn't have a plot. There's no arc at all. And so I think people coming to it who want a more traditional story will walk away going like, what the heck was that? I don't understand. So go into it knowing there's no plot. Just enjoy.
It is Coen Brothers. So you can do that.
And then I finally saw Youth and Revolt.
Woo! Yeah, we watched that one that was here.
And I was talking to Amanda about it. I mean, it's as a movie itself, it's really cute. It's changed so radically from the book.
Which was my favorite book in high school.
I mean, the book is just so much more...
Twisted.
Yeah, twisted and, you know, and... And it just, and nothing good happens in the book. I mean, it's like, stuff is bad, it just keeps getting worse, and they're actually, it's kind of like A Serious Man.
except... But hilarious as well.
But hilarious. Yeah. But, but the movie's much sweeter, and, you know, they kind of made it more, you know.
Michael Cera is awesome.
And Michael Cera's in it, so it was my Michael Cera versus Jesse Eisenberg weekend at Zombieland, and Youth and Revolt. And then what else did I watch this weekend? Oh, I've also been doing a Johnny Depp weekend. I watched Donnie Brasco, which I'd never seen.
I haven't seen that.
And it's really good. I mean, really well done. But it just got me thinking about, like, other gangster movies I like more. And so I said that to someone else, and they were like, oh, like Johnny Dangerously? And I was like, what? Like, no, like Goodfellas. Goodfellas. Or, you know, or The Godfather, or any number of... Great film.
Wasn't Johnny Depp in another gangster movie called, like, Gangster or something?
Public Enemies?
Yeah.
The Dillinger one?
I think so.
Yeah, with Marion Cotillard. I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one either.
But then I'm also watching... I didn't finish it last night. It was getting too late. But I started watching Blow, which I had never seen, which Johnny Depp, in a series of the worst wigs in the history of the universe. It's like, the first scene, they show him in that, like, crazy blonde wig, and I thought... And I thought, well, we're going to flashback, it'll get better. No. It's like the history of America through bad wigs. It is bad. Bad. But I love this. The supporting cast is a ton of people I really like Rachel Griffiths and Franka Potente and...
Penelope Cruz is pretty
good. Penelope Cruz and Miguel Sandoval and so Ray Liotta, who's in Youth and Revolt.
Yeah.
And... So, yeah, anyway. But so that's interesting. And there's a lot of interesting directorial choices in that, I thought. Just the way they chose to shoot things and edit it.
Yeah.
What
you said about his wigs reminded me of... rewatched What's Eating Gilbert Grape, because that's what I'm watching something now, and he has that red hair.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, whoa.
Oh, you just reminded me, though. On the way to TNA, I watched Alice in Wonderland. On the plane, I'm sure not optimal viewing. I thought it was incredibly boring.
Yeah?
Like,
I haven't seen it yet.
I did not like it at all. I just thought it was really, really, really dull. But then I did see a movie in the theater. We took the kids to go see Toy Story 3. And it was awesome. I am a huge Pixar. I mean, I love Pixar. I love all the Pixar movies. And Toy Story 2 is probably my favorite kids film. And this one really did it justice. It was, it's hilarious. And it makes you laugh. And it makes you cry. And it's got a really clever story. Looks great. It's got a really fun voice cast to it. Did you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
No, I haven't. Okay.
The girl who plays Mel. Anyway, there's a lot of fun people in it. It's fun. I like it.
Okay.
That's it.
Have you been reading
anything? No, I haven't been reading anything. I suck. What have you been reading?
Oh, besides Trashy Romance novels before I go see Eclipse. Oh, wow. Yeah. I read Bitter is the New Black by Jen McAllister, which is a book that Amanda lent me a long time ago. It's a memoir. Basically, she lives in Chicago. She gets laid off from her job that she's really good at, and all this stuff happens, and she's been used to, like, living in this huge loft, and, like, she's a brand whore, like, for clothes and stuff, and she goes and gets her hair done, like, every few weeks, and, like, all this crazy stuff, and it's not like she has a complete turnaround, but, but she, you know, because her husband gets laid off, too, so they have kind of money epiphany and kind of become better people, but she's still herself. Like, it's not so huge a change that you're like, that's not even possible. Yeah.
So you just reminded me, another thing I watched on Watch Instant was No Impact Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which was interesting. I mean, it's about this... I mean, it's... this guy who started a blog, like, in Manhattan, like, that he was going to be No Impact Man, that he was going to live for a year and have no impact on the environment. And it started with things like, I will no longer use toilet paper. But then they went to, like, but he's got a toddler and a wife. And then it was things, and then we'll only eat locally grown food that we can get at the farmer's market. We won't use a car, and we won't use the television, and we won't, and then eventually we won't use electricity, and we won't, But there's a lot of cheating going on that some cover in the documentary and some they don't cover. And it does all feel just sort of like a ploy. I mean, like, it's just sort of like, this is the material for my new book. I'm going to be the guy who does this weird thing for a year because that's the trend right now, right? I'm going to spend a year, you know, living according to the Bible. I'm going to spend a year living according to Oprah. I'm going to spend a year, you know, doing this, doing that. And... so it feels very insincere to me. And plus, what they never show is that during the whole thing, his daughter is going to daycare, like, and, you know, standard daycare. And they show a little bit that his wife is still working full-time and going to an office and doing all her regular office stuff for business week. And anyway, there's a bunch of stuff about it. I have some major quibbles about it. I remember reading a review of it that sort of talked about it more as a story about a marriage than a story about this. And I really think it's true. It's kind of like I keep discovering in all these documentaries that are about, like, some central figure, like that Armani one sort of ended up being more about his partner, and how the Anna Wintour one ended up being more about Grace Coddington.
Yeah.
This one ends up being a lot more about his wife. Because she is, like, a little fashionista. She has to deal with the idiot. And, but she has to make all these changes that aren't really her choice. And, you know, she's, like, reading by candlelight and
whatever,
to give up coffee and having to do all these things because he made this choice that, you know, they're going to make this, you know, really have this really crazy life for a year and, you know, wash their clothes in a bathtub. And
that's, like, veto power.
I know. Yeah, well... but, I mean, but it's kind of, but on the other hand, it's like, that's his job. This is what he does for a living. So, yeah. I had some really big issues with it, but it's on Watch Instant. It's worth a look if you're, if you're interested.
That's in my queue. So maybe. Yeah. And I just started The Foresight Saga by John Galsworthy. Yeah. I'm like 50 pages in.
What is that?
I think it's a Victorian era, it's not really... it's a really thick book, and I haven't gotten enough into it to decide, like, what exactly it is. Yeah. It's about a family, the Forsythes. They're upper-middle-class people, very concerned with money, and it's just about their family. The Masterpiece Theater has a two-part miniseries, or it's multiple parts, but it's, like, two volumes that I saw way back when I had a television... on PBS, which is very good. So that's kind of, I need to branch out from memoirs and trashy romance novels a little bit and read something a little more heavy.
I have been doing a tiny bit of reading. I have, on my iPad, I have a Kindle app, and so I downloaded some free stuff, which you can get all the Jane Austen books for free. And I've never read Mansfield Park, so I finally started reading that.
I find that it's the most boring of the Austen books. Yeah. I really liked it when I first read it, and then when I went and reread it, I was like, this is so boring. But,
well,
I'm still good. Yeah. But,
I mean, you know, a bad day with Austen is better than a good day with most everybody else, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but I've got other ones. Actually, I've got Northanger Abbey on there, too, which is another one that I've never read.
Oh, so. That one's fun. That's a fun one.
I'm bad. I mean, I've read Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility and Emma multiple times, but then I had never branched out and read.
Yeah, I think one summer I just read all of her books.
I think you did.
I think I did. Sounds like me.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about your cooking thing?
My cooking mojo? If you read the parts on Ravelry, I posted about losing my cooking mojo and asking people to help me find it. It's slowly coming back. But I'm still feeling uninspired. I think part of it was we moved and we did all this stuff and I still had to cook. And I cook breakfast and lunch 5 days a week for me and Audrey. And then breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all three of us.
Yeah.
Like 5 days a week. And now it cooks on the weekends because I work. So it's hard to not get bored. I mean, last week while Nikki was here, I had a bit of a reprieve because we ate out a lot.
Yeah. I'm kind of abdicating all cooking responsibility to Wes because he, I have to
Doesn't he like to cook, though?
Well, he does like to cook, but I work until 6, and the kids have to be picked up before 6.
Mm-hmm.
So his work schedule is more flexible, so he leaves, he picks up the kids, so he always gets home ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets started on dinner. So I come, and then I've gotten so complacent about it that now I come home and it's like, what's for dinner? And it's like, I don't even have any, like, heart in it. I still do the shopping, though, so I have to be at the store going, well, I'll get a pork tenderloin and some spinach, and let's see what he makes with this. And I just throw it in the fridge. One thing I posted about on the board is, this braised artichoke recipe that we got from Mark Bittman, the New York Times. Super easy. I mean, again, I didn't make it, but it looks really easy. I mean, you basically like cut them in half and put them in a pan with stock and some butter and a little bit of lemon zest. It's so good. It's delicious. He made it twice, and the first time I just was like, you didn't want any of this, did you? Ate the whole thing myself. It was really, really good. And I bet it would be good too. I mean, this is that time of year too where you don't want to be doing a lot of cooking because it's hot and none of us have air conditioning here in Seattle.
Nope.
So it's like, it's too bad if it was like a time where you could like cook it when it wasn't too hot and you could, then it'd be good chill.
Okay. So I did that yesterday. I roasted some carrots and some cherry tomatoes, which I don't like cherry tomatoes, but roasted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Cause they split open.
Yeah.
Just like juicy and sweet. So I roasted carrots and tomatoes in the morning and then in the evening threw some like frozen corn pieces, like Trader Joe's roasted corn kernels, in a bowl with some basil and olive oil and the carrots and then tomatoes with all their juices and some spices and just boiled some pasta and threw it in there.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. Like little, I think I ended up with elbows because that's what we had. I thought we had orzo, but whatever.
Yeah.
And that was good.
Yeah.
And I just made enough so that I don't have to cook lunch today.
Yeah.
But I'm just really stuck. So if you have favorite recipes for summer specifically that are little cooking or no cooking, just like
there's a easy, great Mark Bittman.
Please post them because I've gotten some suggestions for cookbooks, but I need easy. And usually 30 to 45 minutes of cooking is what I'm up for.
I have to find, last summer, the summer before, Mark Bittman posted a, like, 100, like, no-cook or nearly no-cook summer recipes.
Oh, excellent.
And his are sort of more like, take this, do that, do that. They're not, like, a full-on recipe, but it's this long, I'll have to find it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So I'm a pescatarian, technically. I'm a vegetarian that eats fish. So we do a lot of vegetarian cooking and no cooks meat on the weekends, but I can easily adapt after almost 12 years of doing this, easily adapt new recipes to vegetarian ones. So if you have any ideas or recipes that you like or that your kids like, since I have a toddler who will eat something for 2 days and then refuses to eat it the third day, please post it on the Ravelry board, because, mostly I just got people agreeing with me.
I don't know what to cook either.
So, it's good to know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those of you who have the cooking mojo, please post about it.
Excellent.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's please. It.
Keep posting on the Knitting Green knit-along thread.
Show notes are at doubleknit.net.
And you can find us on Ravelry.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
She is foaming like a bottle of beer. The wave is coming, but I ain't got no fear. I'm waxing down to that Agoria fast. I'm waxing down because it's really a blast. I'm going to turn because I don't like it.